doing the thing first. I'll do it first.
Okay, go ahead.
And you know we're gonna make it stop. We're gonna make it stop. We're gonna make it stop.
On this show, we make it stop. We talk about all the biggest flops. So listen to our show. It's the 20th fucking episode.
Yeah, we're gonna make it stop. And we make it stop.
And we make it stop. Oh, back in the bow.
20 episodes.
Seems like we never left.
It is a. It's been a fruitful harvest.
Sure has.
Tilling and sowing these fields of shitty garbage music.
It's like the Great Leap Forward. We're just like raking rocks.
So I'm Mike Dunn.
I'm Heather Mack. We are your hosts once again for another edition of our show, Make It Stop. Bad albums, good times.
Mess it up again.
What did I do?
It's bad music, good times.
That's what I said.
You said bad albums, good times.
Well, it's both. Bad music, good times. I'm keeping it and it stays. Yes, but as I was saying, we're having, you know, usually we invite our friends on the show, but today it's just me and you, buddy. Just looking, gazing right into those caterpillar eyebrows today, because we wanted to go mano a mano,
yeah.
Right? Tit for tat.
We wanted to have a little crossfire.
With
Tucker Carlson today.
Well,
Tucker Carlson couldn't make it, so it's just me and Heather.
Yeah, we did invite Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, we invited the raging Cajun. But he also declined.
Unfortunately, yeah. Yes, so this week, this episode of Make It Stop, we decided, actually, this was Mike's idea, so I'm going to let Mike explain it to you.
Well, yeah, I just thought, you know, we listen to a lot of bad music for you, for the stoppies, you know,
yes.
And it's not, we're not really electing to listen to it for any other reason. We generally, Heather and I think we both generally listen to pretty good music.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
most of the time.
But surely everyone's got their album, their guilty pleasure.
Yes.
And I thought it would be a good idea for me and Heather to both pick what we think is, you know, one of the worst albums that we do like, or what would be perceived by the world
bad
album.
I think that's.
And we're going to talk about it. We're going to debate it. I'm probably going to make fun of Heather's music. She's probably going to make fun of mine.
We're gonna both end up being fans of the other album by the time this is through. That's my goal.
I am already embarrassed to, like, I know what's about to happen, and I'm about to.
We are ashamed.
Defend Limp Bizkit. Is what's about to happen, and I'm gonna vociferously defend Limp Bizkit. In fact.
And I'm here to defend Good Charlotte, actually. The first Good Charlotte album.
The first Limp Bizkit album.
Yes, and. They were both, it's very interesting because both albums came out in 1997, the first Good Charlotte album was recorded in 1997, and I don't think they didn't make it big until like close to 2000, but, and then it was like re-released on like a major label in 2000, but like basically 1997 were when both of these, you know, master disaster pieces were like incubating.
It's when they hit the studio.
Yeah.
We're talking, of course, about Good Charlotte.
Yes.
Self-titled.
Self-titled.
And $3 Bill, Y'all by Limp Bizkit.
Y'all with the dollar sign at the end, just so we're that silent. Is it Y'all's?
Oh, is it Y'all's? I think it's
$3 Bill, Y'all. Funny story, I gave this to my dad as a gift when I was like 8.
You did?
I was like, I think my dad is a rocker. I was like, I'm pretty sure he's into rock. Ooh. And this is rock. It was like the Kid Rock album and this album. Well, the first Kid Rock album.
That was all they were playing on the radio in 1997. It was a lot of... I was just listening to another podcast today, the Are You Talking R.E.M. Re Me? And Scott Aukerman was talking about how bummed he was in 97, right. Or in like 2000, when, you know, after the second Limp Bizkit album came out, when fucking K-Rock just started only playing that shit.
Yeah,
you know, and that was all over
later when we talk about like
the country,
and it was quite a transformation. What caused 1997 to be this like breakout year for pop punk for sure,
yep.
And for new metal. That was like what characterized the late 90s into the early 2000s in rock music.
And they're now like the most embarrassing aspects of that time.
Both of them,
yes,
yeah, yeah. And I mean, yeah, like Limp Bizkit, like I said, I got it for my dad when I was 8, and then I kind of like, I liked some of it, but I knew enough to keep my distance because it was like the wrong kind of people that you listen to Limp Bizkit. I was like, I don't know about this. But like, and Good Charlotte, by the time I found out about this album, they were already uncool. Like by 2000 and 2001, when they were like out, it was like if you were, you know, 13 or 14 and a punk or considered yourself a punk, you were supposed to make fun of Good Charlotte.
Yeah, but I still knew a bunch of punks who like listened to the 14-year-old punks who like listened to them secretly and shit. You know,
so that was me.
Who actually did like Good Charlotte. Well, I was not among them.
Yeah. Okay. We all have our, you know, have our things. But like my, I remember because it was my sister that listened to Good Charlotte, and I remember being like, "Oh my god, you're such a poser." I listened to like deep cuts, like the Ataris. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so,
yeah.
But you know, Good Charlotte was just so like kind of shamelessly poppy and like shamelessly looking for fame. And similarly, like fucking Limp Bizkit, man. I mean, they embraced every aspect of like their pop identity, despite being like a, you know, arguably much more like kind of like hard style band.
Yeah. Well, and then they I think they're both, I would put them at two separate zeitgeists that happened close to each other. Limp Bizkit was like the poster boy of like the late 1990s like douche.
Yes. You know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
He's like, he is the image that has come to define what that
a
was.
A douchebag. Yeah, and the red hats were like synonymous.
Yeah.
With like, you're a dickweed.
And the little chin goatee.
Ugh.
But then Good Charlotte, a few years later, I feel like in the early 2000s, punk, I mean, it's always been happening to some, it had been happening to some extent for about a decade, but it got, I feel like, super commodified.
Yes.
In the early 2000s.
Yes.
And I think Good Charlotte was the poster boy for that.
That's totally it. And they both had, you know, these like charismatic front men.
Ugly. Who? Both fucking fans for him.
Yeah. with this like little moon face and the fucking. Did I have a crush?
Did you have a crush on Benji?
Did I? I liked boys with eyeliner for sure. So that was probably it for me. But I was really into spider bite or snake bite. Ugh, get gross. And
I think I was in sixth grade when this Limp Bizkit album came out.
Yeah.
So you would have been in seventh grade when the Good Charlotte album
when
came out?
When the Good Charlotte album. And I was already like identifying myself like I'm a punk. That's like the identity that I'm going to assume as like and like cultivate as this, you know, young suburban white early adolescent that was like, please get me out of here. Like, anything but this. But like didn't know what to do or be, but that was, you know, that was how you became a punk. And like Blink-182.
Yeah, no, I was super into Blink-182.
And that's actually like, I'm gonna get into when we get into Good Charlotte. Like there's, I would say there are definitely songs on this album that are like better than a lot of Blink-182 songs that we thought were okay to like love like at the time.
Like old Blink-182 songs?
Well,
I would give a strong disagree to that.
Not to like Dude Ranch, but like Enema of the State. Like it was
And I'm not even saying like
it was like similarly commodified. It was similarly commodified and similarly like played out and kind of materialistic and dumb. And TRL, I mean, both of these bands for all of their posturing were like TRL bands. You know what I mean? This was like popular as fuck. So it's so funny that like both albums like spend a lot of time like, you know, taking aim at the popular kids and like blah blah blah, and like this was like this was like what popular kids like listened to, and it was like the rapey jock popular kids.
Ugh.
Oh, sorry, or like the fucking like, you know, like maybe queer, but like can't come out yet because we're in like the suburbs and everybody sucks, or like, you know, just like in touch with their emotions kind of douche.
These are Good Charlotte fans you're describing.
Yeah,
there's also fucking rapey douche fans of that band, I'm sure.
Right. The uniting, like, the center of the Venn diagram were trucker hats, and, like, it happened. So, beyond that tangent, I think the point we're trying to make is that both of these albums have a lot in common, even though they're both different flavors of white male angst that really spoke to disaffected, you know, suburban youth who were, like, really trying to, like, escape on some level, right?
Yeah, on some level, yeah.
And
So what? Where were you at?
Yeah.
When you got into Good Charlotte, you know?
Okay, I didn't get into Good Charlotte.
Oh, you didn't?
Because I spent so much time, like, again, posturing that I was so different from anybody who would listen to Good Charlotte.
Right.
So
but you did eventually because you like this album, right?
Yeah.
Like,
so
sometime later down the line?
Like, I think I found it, like, I think I finally listened to it. Like, I don't know. My sister would play it, and I was like, I don't like that song. Like, the East Coast Anthem? Okay. And, like, I don't know. But like I publicly like derided her for it, and like on internet message boards, like you know, was very clear about where my loyalties lied. But I definitely had that like low key on the iPod, so I would like keep it in the shuffle and be like, but I would never talk to anybody about it. So this was like going back and rediscovering a familiar, you know, a familiar friend. That was a secret, shameful friend that I hid under my bed.
Well, I was an out and proud Limp Bizkit fan when I was in sixth grade. I was not hiding it at all. I felt no shame. I loved Limp Bizkit.
Yep.
I loved this album. I had the Family Values Tour 98 video cassette.
We have that upstairs.
Yeah.
Which is that is your original
super
copy?
Fucked up for a kid my age to have.
No, we were both kids.
And I remember having this kind of attitude when I was in like fifth, sixth grade, seventh grade. You know, that, you know, musically,
yeah.
I just
yeah.
wanted to hear what was like new and shit. Fresh and like rap rock and new metal was like.
Yeah, it was like Tony Hawk Pro Skater and fucking X Games and like fucking Mountain Dew and like this album.
Yeah. And this was the sound. This was the new sound that hadn't been done before.
It hadn't.
And I was right here for it. Looking back now, rap rock, generally not great. New metal. Generally very bad. Paved the way for, you know, post-grunge like Nickelback, and here we are.
Right.
With Hinders, you know.
Yeah.
However many albums at this point.
Yeah. And also with the other, you know, like fucked up, diseased offshoots of this like ridiculous family tree, like Crunkcore.
Oh, yeah,
wow. Shout out to Broken Side coming out with a new album, which we are reviewing for our 50th episode.
Yeah.
So stay tuned, Stoppies. We're making it happen.
Hell yeah. I'm glad you finally agreed to it.
I mean, I will we make it to 50 episodes?
We're at 20 episodes already.
I know, that's
already.
True. I'm really proud of us. We should take a moment and pat ourselves on
yeah,
the back. And honestly, pat you on the back, Stoppies, for sticking with us. We just made it onto Spotify today, actually.
Woo, yeah,
that's
Spotify,
how you know,
baby.
That's how you know we made it. We made it. No, seriously. It's been real, guys. It's been a good 20 episodes, so maybe we'll make it to 50 to listen to that fucking Broken Side album. And then I'll jump off a cliff.
Where were we? What were we talking about, Limp Bizkit wise? Though
Limp Bizkit wise, I mean, okay. So again, we were talking about how like that was the zeitgeist. That was like what it was. You had to like identify, you know, like we had slim pickings in that late 90s, early 2000s time, and also, you know, it was the point you were trying to make about like it was new. You know, it was totally
yeah.
new.
It was, and it was definitely made for adolescent boys.
Right.
You know,
right.
like I was the key demographic for sure.
Right.
But it seemed like there was all kinds of shit, edgy shit being marketed towards teens and
yeah.
like adolescents.
Yeah.
It was the fucking Attitude Era?
It was the Attitude Era.
South Park?
As we've been over.
South Park was just
many
starting.
Of our episodes. Format-wise, I don't know why, but again, because we have so many similar kind of overlaps here, even though the sounds are wildly different. We're going to go back to back, but we're going to do a song from the Good Charlotte album, followed by a song from the Limp Bizkit album. And then we're going to discuss both of them.
Hey, should we do like a, after we listen to it, decide which song is better?
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, I'm usually going to pick Limp Bizkit, but.
Okay. All right. So Mike has just thrown it out there. We're going to do it so that we go head to head. And we have to argue, debate style, why one song is better than the other, which I, you know, reserve the right to tap out a few times here. So we're going to play them back to back. And there's like 13 songs on the Good Charlotte album and 12 on the Limp Bizkit album. So we'll have one extra Good Charlotte song. And then there's a secret song that I didn't listen to, but Mike listened to enough to hate. So we'll maybe discuss that too. But we're going to go back to back, and we're going to start with Little Things by Good Charlotte, and then Pollution by Biscuit.
Kids had convertibles and we had to ride the bus. 55. Like the time we made the baseball team, but they still laughed at us.
You still
like the time that girl broke up with me cause I wasn't cool enough. Trick day.
They have a similar timbre of wine, don't they?
Well, a little, I mean, the, I guess like the pitch.
No, it's that like upper, you know, back of the throat register that you heard on both of those.
Yeah, but Benji's going meow, 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 meow. And Fred just going, baka, 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 baka.
Okay, so we're cats and chickens.
Yeah.
Like, how do you even compare? It's apples and oranges. It's cats and chickens. We got squawking and we got whining and we have, I mean, there's, yeah, the crescendo. I mean, Fred Durst at least has some variety and kind of the lilt of his whine and screech.
Yeah, he's got a little more going on. It's a little more engaging, I think.
But they both do this, like, phony, like, Anthony Kiedis, like, wingy ding dong, diggy biggy do bow, like, delivery on multiple songs in this album. Like, I don't fucking understand. This is like...
Is Anthony Kiedis the most influential musician of our generation?
Of our generation. It's true. You heard it here first.
Hashtag Kiedis the goat.
Like, I don't know, pollution... is definitely the bow, you know, like it's some like rage against the machine kind of.
Yeah, what I dig about the song is the rhythm section is really tight. It
yeah.
really gets your head bobbing.
Yeah,
you know how much I like to bob my head when I listen to music.
That is true. It's definitely the kind of music that you like play on like the Matterhorn at like the county fair, like that you're
yeah.
like really raging hard.
Or like the dragon.
Yeah, exactly.
Dragon boat.
Well, you know, like, okay. Like, I'm really high off of like slushies and like fucking like, you know, salvia. Like, gotta get fucked up and go on the Matterhorn. I don't know. For one dimensional white male rage, pollution's pretty much perfect. Like,
oh.
I'm not gonna lie.
Oh,
I'm not.
Thank you.
But like for one dimensional white male rage. So it's like, you know, the lyrics are pretty straightforward and very cheesy. There's nothing to like really ask questions about. You know, and it's all kind of about how Limp Bizkit's better than everybody else. So it's got that like, you know, braggadocious like hip hop, but like, you know, without real swag. So there's that, but I don't know.
Well, I don't even know what the song's about. I don't even, the words are like, to me, are like, pick a pick a one now, pick a pick a pick a field, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But you know, I just like the way it sounds. And I think that that's, you know, that's what Limp Bizkit gets the most hate for is Fred Durst's voice. But I think
it's, I mean, it's at least interesting. There's definitely like it's interesting.
I think it's an effective like instrument in itself.
It's affective, like it is filled with affects. Like he is affecting his voice in a ridiculous way. And they both,
they're both taking elements of hip hop. I think Fred Durst does it more effectively. I gotta say, because on Little Things, you got Benji tossing out these ad-libs after every line like he's Jim
yeah, the
Jones.
Echo lines.
Going, reduce lunch.
It's like,
and then
it's like the
doing...
like Monopoly of like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or something. Like, all right, we get it.
There's a lot of like little hip-hop. Like he even says like, you want to hate me now because I won't stop now and I can't stop now. And that
yeah.
is a not song.
And then wiki, wiki, wiki. There's a lot of wiki, wiki, wikis
and
as
there's...
opposed to on the Limp Bizkit album where it's actually, you know, like, you know, DJ Lethal, so I don't know.
Yeah, DJ Lethal is almost a non-presence on this album, though, I feel
yeah,
like.
He has a few moments.
I still don't get what the point of DJ Lethal was for Limp Bizkit. Why did bands have DJs?
No, so they could have street cred. I mean, and that's kind of both of them also, like, just, you know, aching for some street cred, aching for somebody to, like, recognize their tortured souls and stuff. And like Limp Bizkit is just kind of like dumb, like smashing your head against a wall over and over again, where like, you know, Good Charlotte's like, everything's fun, everything's gonna be cool, even though like we're talking about our alcoholic dad and like, you know, having reduced lunch, you know, I don't know. It's all dumb.
I can definitely see why, you know, this shit spoke to kids our age.
Right.
Because
it's very high school.
It's very surface level middle observations.
School. Right.
You know, because it's just like a very simple story, mm-hmm. very simple chords, like with a nice little hook. I don't know. Yeah. It's just...
It's not complex.
Here's what bothers me about Good Charlotte is it just seems like every move they made was just calculated to sell records.
And so was Limp Bizkit. Do you know about how Limp Bizkit started?
I know about the payola, yeah.
Yeah, are you kidding me?
Actually,
okay,
maybe,
go ahead.
Let's go to the next song, because that's what the song they paid the radio stations to play.
They literally paid the radio stations to play it. Also, like, Fred Durst is, like, the ultimate, like, you know, shiller, like, capitalist shill. Like, he went around to, like, every single fucking record store and, like, harassed people until they, like, stocked his album. And you know what? Good for him. Same with fucking Benji and Joel. They both decided. They were like, listen, we're in high school. We're not going to go to college. We, like, don't even have a band. I forget how they started the band. There was, like, some ridiculous... Oh, they were watching the Beastie Boys. They went to a Beastie Boys show. And they, like, which is hilarious, and another weird common thread between them and Limp Bizkit is they went to a Beastie Boys show in 1995, and then Joel and Benji were like, listen, we're gonna do that. Like, we're gonna just not go to college, and we're gonna drop out, and we're gonna fucking, like, play music, and let's find, like, some friends of our friends that, like, can play music with us. And, you know, considering how that could have turned out, they fucking made it work. They were like, we're gonna be fucking stars, and they, like, forced it on America, and that's exactly what Limp Bizkit did. They did the same thing with, like, Korn, too. Like, what did they do? They, like, went to a Korn show, and then they tattooed the members of Korn. Did you read about
this? Yeah. No, I know about that.
Yeah.
That's how they got discovered.
Yeah, that's how, well, they, like, forced them to discover them. They were like, listen, we're going to go to your show, and then we're going to give you some bad tattoos, because Fred Durst was a tattoo artist. And then they gave them some shitty tattoos and was like, here, now that you're, like, literally, you know, unable to move because you're being, like, actively, like, stabbed by me, why don't you listen to my demo? And then they, like, listened to the fucking Limp Bizkit demo. It was like, all right, you guys can go on tour with us.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, you know,
that's shameless. They're both fucking shameless as fuck.
But you know what? Korn and Limp Bizkit were like peanut butter and jelly, man. They went together really well. Like,
right.
Korn's lucky to have discovered Limp Bizkit. Honestly, this Limp Bizkit record is better than all the Korn albums.
Yeah, probably. I haven't like given those a good hard listen, and I'm not trying to anytime soon. But
should we go to the next song?
Let's do it. Okay, so the next two songs here are Good Charlotte's Waldorf Worldwide, followed by Limp Bizkit's Counterfeit. Oh wait, did we vote Little Things versus Pollution? I'm gonna give it to Pollution.
I vote Pollution as well.
Yeah, it's Pollution. All right, Waldorf Worldwide and Counterfeit.
Listen up, cause there ain't nothing funny. I want a hot girl and a little bit of money. I want a little house where my band can live, cause we're tired of moving every other weekend. I want to go to parties where they got no guns. I want to rock with my band. I want to have a little fun with thugs and punks and any other type to sing this song. Yeah, we'll sing it all night. Sing it. Everything's gonna be all right now. Everything's gonna be all right. Get down, stay up all night now.
Counterfeit's a great song.
Oh yeah, Counterfeit, maybe one of the greatest.
I mean, I think
rap
it's
rock songs of all time.
Yeah, I think it's probably the best on this album. One of the best. But I really enjoyed this, and I'm not gonna lie about it. It is what it is.
Well, and like, yeah. I like how it slows down just a little bit just before the chorus too. Like, fuck. Yeah, it's a well-constructed song. The bass line is money. They got that organ coming in.
Have a lot of like complexity in the music. I mean, again, like the biggest thing that you could say
about
Fred Durst's delivery is that it's fucking annoying, and like no matter what, it is. It actually really is. I'm not a big fan, but the musicianship is wild. Like, it is really cool. It's really cool. And there's a lot of like little flavors of different types of music. Like, it's very House of Pain-y. It also, you know, gives me like some of the songs give like that like Beastie Boys vibe, that like Ministry vibe. Like, I don't know. Like, this shit, it's very industrial. The like, you know, the like halting counter. But like that's cool. Like that, I'm arguing your point for you.
And Wes Borland is a cool guitar player, man. Like, he had those outfits with the makeup and he played.
I mean, which were obviously like a gimmick too.
He played two handed with no pick and did all kinds of tap shit.
Yeah,
and like
definitely better musicians than Good Charlotte. But like also like it's pop punk and who cares?
Right. Yeah. Good Charlotte's a little. It's a little more polished, but it's like very simple. It's like very everything.
I mean, it's formulaic pop punk, whereas this was, you know, this was the formula that they ended up like hewing to their entire career, but they kind of helped create the formula, which makes it a little bit more interesting and cool.
Yeah, I mean, and they do like post-date Rage Against the Machine and stuff. Like, they weren't this right. wasn't super
Yeah, no, it
new.
Wasn't brand new. No, exactly. You're right. You're right.
It was new
it
to
back.
Me at 12, but it's also like, I don't know. I just think
it was
it's
a
well
gateway
executed.
Drug to Rage Against the Machine too.
I don't like Waldorf Worldwide that much. I feel like what really separates this song from like LFO?
What? It like doesn't sound like LFO at all.
Like, it's just the distortion.
No, it's definitely, if you're going to compare this to anybody, I would compare this to Sugar Ray. Like, this is like a very like Sugar Ray kind of like wah, 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 you know, like sort of suit like baby ska. Like, you know,
Sugar Ray was like even whacker than this. I've got like,
okay, yeah. So like, it was like a mixture of like Sugar Ray and like Jimmy Eat World. Like, you know, everything's gonna be all right. You know, like it's a fucking it's a sing along. It's a very typical pop song. You know, and maybe it works, but it totally works. Like, if you're looking for a pop song, this is a great song. The harmonies are tight. You know, they have that kind of, you know, again, that wah wah pedal. And they also have this similar vibe to Limp Bizkit with the, you know, thugs and punks, right? We're trying to bring together hip-hop and punk together.
I feel like Limp Bizkit probably actually did hang out with some. They're from fucking Jacksonville.
They're from D.C., dude. Like, these guys are from fucking D.C. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, they're okay. You think so? You think they're hanging with thugs?
No, I mean, first of all, how do we define thugs? Like, that's problematic as fuck. What I think they're saying is, like,
you think
pop
they hung
and
out with
punk
people who
together.
Committed petty, like,
I don't think that's what they're saying. I think they're saying, like, punk, people who listen to punk and people who listen to hip hop. Because that used to be, like, a category, like, preps and punks and thugs. And what that really meant was, like, well, I don't know. There was definitely racism involved, but it was also, like, people who listen to hip hop and people who listen to punk rock and people who, like, listen to pop music. And I don't know. There's no point to that. It's just that, like, they're trying to do this similar thing where they're like bridging gaps of like different.
Yeah, but it's so affected.
Yes, so is Limp Bizkit. Also, will be self-made millionaires as the refrain. They did. Good for them.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty empty but totally singable. The harmonies again are tight. And they sing about, like, you know, just aspiring to be better than like their shitty no good town or whatever. And they, again, like, this album was recorded at a time where they didn't have any fame or notoriety, but they then, you know, shamelessly self-promoted just like Limp Bizkit and made themselves the self-made millionaires. Like, they kicked the welfare, which is like a question mark. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think they're referencing like growing up with, you know, getting welfare.
Well, yeah, there's a lot
poor.
Of that on this album. I believe that they
the
were
working
poor.
Class. Yeah, the working class kind were of like though? Ethos. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I assume so. Yeah. I mean, they had like a deadbeat dad and lived with a single mom and grew up in D.C. So I don't know. I mean, if they're fucking lying about all that shit, I should have done my research a little bit better.
They're from D.C.
Right.
Home of Discord Records.
Mm-hmm.
How do you come up with this from that environment? If you're trying to be like, punk
okay,
influenced.
They're not from D.C. They're from Waldorf, Maryland, which is the whole
okay.
thing.
That's right.
Yes,
that's right. Waldorf.
I guess we should know that.
All right. Well, that makes sense then. They don't. Yeah, I don't know. That's not.
You know,
DC.
It's like saying you're from Boston and you're from like Salem. Sorry.
From East Bridgewater.
I'm from Acton.
Should we go to the next song?
Yes, let's do that. Let's go right ahead and do that.
Let's vote. I liked Counterfeit better.
Yeah, Counterfeit wins this one.
All right, that's two.
I know. This isn't gonna be good for me, I don't think. But all right, this next song is "Motivation Proclamation" by Good Charlotte and "Stuck" by Limp Bizkit.
Motivate me. I wanna get myself out of this bed. Captivate me. I wanna cut those inside of my head. If I fall down, would you come around? Get me right up on the ground. If I fall down, would you come up? I keep my engine on that amp like the Chattanooga Jam. That's all we need. Another fancy planet on this earth. Motivated by greed. You wanna play that game, bitch? You think you dance for my cash? It's your ass that I'm blasting. Oh, you wanna play that game, bitch?
All right. So what'd you think, Mike?
So the Motivation Proclamation, I'll start there.
Okay.
This was my favorite so far from the Good Charlotte album. I like it because it basically just sounds like a Third Eye Blind song.
Yeah, I agree. I think this sounds very like Lit-esque more than like Third Eye Blind, but they're pretty similar too. Like, you know, like sunny, dreamy, poppy, singable, dumb. Yeah. Dumb, you know, but fine.
Mid-90s like, alternative rock.
Yeah. Green Day, like, meets Eve 6.
Gin Blossoms. So many bands.
Meets Everclear.
But I like some of that safe mid-90s alternative music, honestly. And
they can sing. Their harmonies are great.
And they're not doing any of that punks and thug shit on this song. No. You know, like, I kind of like it when they don't have so many affectations.
Right, exactly. Just like I like it on the Limp Bizkit album when Fred Durst is just screaming, you know? Yeah. Like, basically, that's definitely the best part of any of the Limp Bizkit songs are just Fred Durst screaming. Yeah, I mean, Motivation Proclamation is, like, very straightforward, emo, pop. Like, the cheesy hand tambourine is a little much, but other than that, it's, like, very, very mid-90s alternative, just like you said. Which is fine, but not, like, you know.
Yeah, when I say it's
groundbreaking. Nothing about this is really groundbreaking.
No. And when I say it's my favorite so far, like, I really didn't like the first two songs at all. So
okay, well, you know, yeah, I understand that. Meanwhile, Stuck starts with the first line being psycho female, which is like first two words. Not good.
Psycho female blowing up your phone line. You need to tighten that screw. It's been loose for a long time. I've been slammed with some bad luck.
Oh my god.
Sorry.
Wait, Mike, this is...
No,
okay.
The lyrics to this song are very problematic.
You take a dash for my cash, it's your ass that I'm blasting.
This is an
who's blasting ass here? whose ass are you blasting and how are you blasting it?
He's putting her ass on blast is what he's saying.
Well, that's not what he's really saying because he's saying it's your ass that I'm blasting. Like, it's a verb.
Yeah, but I mean, sure, no, I'm not defending the lyrics of the song. It's an anti-gold digger anthem.
And it's also, like, a lot of just, like, deep, like, heavy breathing into the mic. Like, also, he says, biatch. Like,
he does say,
biatch.
Yeah, and then there's that whole thing at the end where it's, like,
the whore part where he, like, sings whore all, like, melodically.
Stuck on yourself, you whore.
Yeah, that. Okay, yeah, exactly. Like,
you know, I liked it in
and then all
school.
These, like, DJ Lethal, like, sound effects. Wow. Like, come on. No.
But come on, there's good things about it, too. There's fucking Wes Borland is, like, making his guitar sound like a Wu-Tang sample. Like,
yeah, I said it was some
cool,
weird, jammy guitar lines for sure.
The lyrics, yeah, there's a lot of bad lyrics, but there's also the Suicidal Tendencies reference.
I saw that. Come on. Now.
I like
that. That's very lazy. Like, anybody.
That's how I found out about Suicidal Tendencies.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, I guess I can understand that being, you know, nostalgically relevant, but, like, still, bad song. No. Psycho female. It's all the worst parts of Fred Durst's voice, too. Like, all the most exaggerated, like, stretched, you know, mouth corners. Like, it's just...
It's true. It's him definitely really going for it and, like...
Yeah.
But I do think in terms of instrumentation and shit, like this
yeah,
is
but the
one
instrumentation
of the
instrumentation is always going to save Limp Bizkit. Oh, yeah, but like
this one especially though, because it's got that the bridge with like the jazzy drums and like the walking bass and then like boom, 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 boom. Why, bam,
yeah,
bam, bam, bam,
you know.
Why you want to be like that? I don't know. And I think maybe it's nostalgia for me. This was probably my favorite song on the album when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Because this is definitely not one of my favorites.
So, you know, maybe I got the rose-tinted glasses on for this one. Because I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because Fred Durst is awful on this song.
Yeah, and it makes it so distracting. And, like, ultimately, like, yeah, like, they're, as a band, instrument-wise, they are definitely superior to Good Charlotte. I mean, also, like, it's comparing, like, two completely unlike things. Like, they're not the same.
Yeah,
you know?
They're a little older. You know, they had a little more time to learn their instruments.
Yeah, but also pop punk, no matter what, you're not, like, no matter how good of a pop punk, like, what's your favorite pop punk album? It's a good question, huh? Because, like, I'll start. I have one.
Okay.
Unless you have one.
No, you go ahead.
Okay, so like mine would be like Dookie probably by Green Day.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
That's like a perfect
that
album.
That counts?
Yeah, sure. It's a pop punk album.
Yeah, that's mine then too. That's
yeah,
mine.
Yeah, I mean, okay, great. That's a perfect album and it's perfect despite the fact that, you know, there's like a total of 3 chords on the whole album. Like it's not in any way, again, like Ramones, they were super uncomplicated and like straightforward and like the 3 notes that they played. You know?
Yeah.
And so no matter what, like the instrumentation on a pop punk album is not going to be, you can't compare it to like this crazy, like multi-layered, like insane shit that was like industrial rap rock, you know, weirdness. Like,
yeah. But then like, Good Charlotte's trying to have it both ways though, because
yeah.
they're not just pop punk. They're like straight up pop. And in pop, you can do way more than just have fucking 3 chords and shit, you know, like
I guess that's true, except
or you have the same chords, but
I don't know, would you say that to the Ramones? Like they were pop too. Like even you could say like Gigi Allen was pop. Like Don't Talk to Me is a pop song, but
well,
like
I just mean Dookie is like very punchy and like
so is this
upbeat. This is just a little
it's not as good.
This is a little mid tempo. I don't know. I mean look, we're gonna get to some better songs on it.
Okay. So we get a vote. Between Stuck and Motivation Proclamation.
Well, I gotta give it to Stuck.
Come on. Motivation Proclamation is better, I guess. I don't know. I think Stuck is one that I'm not gonna vote for.
That's fine. And you know what? Motivation Proclamation wasn't that bad. It was just, but Stuck was better.
All
stop,
right.
You weigh in. Tweet at us. What do you like better? Hashtag Stuck or Waldorf. No, sorry. Yeah. Stuck or Motivation.
Stuck or Waldorf. Yeah.
If you prefer Stuck, hashtag the buck stops at Stuck. If you like the Motivation Proclamation, hashtag Motivation Proclamation Nation.
Nobody will do this. All right, great.
I think they're both too long.
They're way too long. We've already failed. Okay, so shall we go on to the next 2 songs?
Yes.
All right. So these ones are East Coast Anthem and Nobody Loves Me. Stoppies, I'm hoping for a win here. Walking on street to D.C. On the East Coast where I live. Say what's the problem? What's with this anger, kid? You don't like the way I walk or the way I talk or the way I swing my hands. You don't like the words I speak or the thoughts I think. And I know you'll never understand. No. It's a hard no for me, dog.
Okay, I mean,
nobody loves me.
Maybe
nobody cares.
maybe I'll go eat worms.
Oh my God.
It is. It's a little much.
Ugh, it's the toxic masculinity album. Like oscillating
it
between.
It really is.
I mean, like.
If you really look at the lyrics.
Oscillating between like emotional devastation and like grief and isolation and then masking it with aggression. Like, come on. Yeah.
Good Charlotte's a lot more wholesome.
There's so many like fucking like bird squawks on this song. Like, God. And so one-dimensional, cheesy lyrics as usual, and just a super exaggerated cadence that's just so ridiculous and over the top. You know, but like, at least Fred does know how to get a point across. You can't argue that.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go too hard in the paint for Nobody Loves Me.
No.
I mean,
wasn't that in that Eminem song too? Now that I think about it, wasn't that like a Nobody Loves Me? Everybody, was that in that album that we? That
yeah,
was another terrible, humorless.
It was,
white
but
dude.
I don't think it was a reference. I think that's just
of course
what
not.
These guys say.
Yeah, right. I'm just saying that's embarrassing. And East Coast Anthem is a banger. It is.
Oh, it's okay.
It's good. It's good. You know, it's a very, you know, that eternal, like, disaffected youth too big for our small stuck-up town, so we'll run away, but also pay tribute to our working-class roots, you know, pop-punk trope. That's what that is, and it works. It's very straightforward, and it works.
Yeah, it's fine. It sounds like Save Tonight by Eagle Eye Cherry,
yeah.
And that's fine. They're doing the mid-90s alternative thing again.
The
I'll
nice layered
it.
Harmonies in the singable chorus.
It's fine. It's unoffensive. It's a little bit offensively unoffensive, but...
I like the song. I like the song.
It's fine. It's just, I don't know... So far, like, there's just not been
even,
nothing.
Like, the way I walk, the way I mean, it is not groundbreaking. It is not unique.
It's just it's not very memorable.
No, you're right. It's not. But neither, I mean, like, am I gonna sing along to fucking, you know, that fucking Limp Bizkit song?
Nobody Loves Me
that I've already forgotten the name of? Like, no, I'm not gonna. Like,
I'll sing along to. Hey, that's a hook. I mean, that'll get
oh
in your
my
head.
God.
Nobody loves me.
All right.
Nobody cares.
I'm done. East Coast Anthem. You can sing along to it. It's a bop. It's fine. We're moving on.
I will. I'll give a slight edge to East Coast Anthem.
Thank you. I needed that. I needed one because it's not going to be a lot of these. All right. Shall we go on to the next song?
Sure.
All right. So this is the festival song by Good Charlotte, followed by Limp Bizkit's Sour.
I don't want your boring life, and I don't want your 9-to-5, or anyone to tell me how to live my life. My insides, I dropped my pride. Without you, I was sure to die. I tried with cash, did all I could to make it last. Now I accept that that was in the past. I know you love me, you love me like a piece of trash.
Okay.
All right, so it's another song where Fred Durst is like crying about a shitty relationship.
Yeah.
Whose fault was the shitty relationship, Fred? You know whose fault it was.
It was. Definitely yours.
It's definitely his. But the guitar part, though, that little...
It was a little Sublime-y, dare I say.
Oh. Well, we both love Sublime.
I know. I was thinking about that album, actually. Like, that artist and that album, like, doing a Sublime song for this episode. Because I was like, I know a lot of people, like, hate on Sublime. And then I was like, I actually don't want to critique Sublime because I'll probably start hating it. Like, I don't want to do that.
Well, Sublime is wildly problematic in a lot of ways, too. But, like...
Either way.
Yeah,
this
definitely.
Was kind
we
of
can
like,
have someone. We can have someone else on here to just debate us about Sublime.
About
because
Sublime.
Everyone else hates them. Rightfully so, but...
Again, we were punks that smoked weed. It makes sense. Anyway... Like, this is everything goes back to that.
It's true.
Yeah, this was like, Sour was definitely a song that, like, you could hear, like, rearranged, right? Like, just think about, and that's a good song.
Yeah, that's a good song. That's one of the best Limp Bizkit songs.
I know.
I almost did Significant Other for this, but like, Significant Other, for some reason, in 1999, every fucking album had to have like 23 songs on it. What was that about? It has way too many songs on it. I didn't feel like doing it. This one is more...
It's millennial optimism.
And it was like, I think it was because CDs cost fucking $19 back then. So like, they had to make it worth it. Remember that? The CDs cost almost $20
for a few years. Yeah, VHS tapes used to cost like $40. Like, I don't know, dude. But listen, that means that some people were paying like close to $20 for lyrics like, quote, "There's no one to blame but you. And who gets the blame? Me. Oh, I sound like a bitch. A little bitch in heat. With all that anger that I'm feeling. Bitch, I think it's heat. Just another split tail." That's off this song.
I don't know the lyrics.
Okay, then we need.
You can keep educating me on what I'm missing out on here, because it's just Fred Durst sounds to me. You know, it's like, it might as well be Kid Cudi going.
Wah. I know.
You know, like it's not lyrics. It's Fred Durst going.
You know, like, I know,
and
like,
as long
it's
as
like,
it's that, it's
like
somewhat
a,
pleasant
it's like
to me.
It's like a baby moshing. Like, I don't know.
I just pretend as his voice is a turntable because you can't hear DJ Lethal's turntables.
I don't know. Like, I do like them when they're exclusively screeching rather than the, like, echoey, sparse, like, multi-layered whine. But, like, the guitar lines on this album are always good. Like, I think that's the one constant is, like, Limp Bizkit, Wes Borland, great guitarist. And, you know, there's, like, some psychedelic, like, fuzzed out layers at the end of this song. Yeah. Like,
I almost wonder, like, would Limp Bizkit be, like, a really sick, like,
are they a
art
jam
rock
band for jocks?
If they didn't have Fred Durst?
Are they a jam band for jocks?
There's some long songs on
this
album.
There really are, yeah. And the fuzzy psychedelic, there are some like edging into weird psychedelic worlds. And then like the final song in the album is just a instrumental, like 16-minute instrumental track. So like maybe they're a jam band for jocks. And maybe
or they were. Because they even on Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water, they had that song Boiler. They did keep doing kind of jam bandy shit.
Yeah.
Huh. That's, yeah, you know what? You're absolutely right, Heather.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Good Charlotte is Green
it's
Day
fine.
For moms.
Green Day for moms! All right, I'm going to high five you over that. All right, I think we're done with the podcast. That's been fun. No, like, we're good. Green Day for moms! Oh, my God. Ugh. Yeah, like, the least punk thing. Yeah, festival song is definitely like aptly titled for like a Warped Tour performance, and like that's it. Like, there's nothing else going on in this song. It's very boring.
Yeah, it sounds like Diet Green Day.
Tonight, banana, I don't want your like you know.
Yeah.
You get it. It's fine. There's like a nice little Sex Pistols reference in the.
Yeah, they do that too much.
Future.
They actually did that a bunch already, because on on Waldorf Worldwide, they did Everything's Gonna Be All Right, like Bob Marley. On Little Things, they did the Nas, You Can Hate Me Now.
Huh.
On, fucking, God damn it, I lost my notes. Whatever. Just those three.
Yeah, that's fine. That's enough. It's fine. It's unimpressive, it's unimaginative, and it's derivative, so I will give it 2... Sour.
Sour for me, too.
Sour on this
damn,
one.
Heather, you're turning on your
Listen,
own album.
I told you at the beginning, I was like, I'm probably going to like this Limp Bizkit album, and I did. Like, mostly, I mean, it's... there's a lot to make fun of, but I feel like I've made fun of that already.
I feel like everyone who talks about how horrible Limp Bizkit is and like they're such a joke, like, should just listen to the 20 albums that we've already listened
to
for this
fucking
podcast.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we need to prove to everybody that like you don't have any fucking clue what you're talking about when it comes to bad music.
No, it gets so much worse than
Limp Bizkit. Exactly. So
And it gets worse than Good Charlotte too, but Good Charlotte is like
Good Charlotte. It's fine. It's like margarine. It's like good in a pinch, but like it's not a substitute for like good music. And like Limp Bizkit is like edgelord humor. Like Cartman is the lead singer of a band that you kind of like, and then it's like, well, this asshole's doing. But like honestly, would they have made it nearly as far without that asshole? No. Like
yeah, that's
he's a compelling, charismatic asshole. You know that it's not rocket science. None of this is rocket science. we were 10 and that's where we're at. All right, we're gonna go into the next song. So these next two songs are Complicated off the Good Charlotte album, followed by Stalemate off the Limp Bizkit $3 bill, y'all.